Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good to see y'all. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I am the good shepherd.
I know my own, my own need, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul.
He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Shepherd,
I know my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in the gradual for this morning. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from John's letter, the 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my first parish, which was in Minnesota, a small town called Silver Creek, not far from the bigger town of Monticello, and not far from another town, again, probably bigger than Silver Creek, we only had 200 people, was Buffalo. What was interesting at this time, this was 1985, was that the churches kind of had a lockdown on Wednesdays. That was confirmation night. Now, keep in mind, you know, Minnesota's just got Lutheran churches on every block, you know, except in Silver Creek. But we did have a Reformed church. But nevertheless, it was a day that the schools recognized there would be no sports, there would be no after-school activities because it belonged to the church. And that was good. I thought, wow, that's really great. And then one day, sometime in that four-year period that I served there, the schools decided they were going to have a sports competition on Sunday. Well, the Lutheran churches weren't going to stand for that. And then they wanted to encroach on our Wednesday, and we were going to stand up against that. And we did, and that was that. I kind of wonder today if that's still the case. I suspect it's not. That it probably gave way because the schools were trying to find a way to enter into our time, our space. In other words, the schools weren't interested in working with the church, or at least some particular programs, because it didn't suit perhaps other communities, because they were having certain things going on Wednesday, or certain games that were played on Sunday. I imagine it's not that way anymore, just the direction everything has gone in our day. Luther warned against taking God out of schools because then what are children left with in terms of being brought up in God's Word? What is left for them when prayers aren't something that are seen as being an important part of a Christian's life? So it's very important that God be in the schools as far as Luther was concerned. That's where he needed to be to help guide and be instructive to the young people. Of course, that's fallen away in our time and in our day. We've seen it erode since perhaps many of you were in school, and you may recall how you perhaps opened the day with a prayer that was maybe led over the PA by a teacher or the principal. Not so anymore. Prayers may be led by students gathered for the purpose of that, but not in a way that it used to be. God is not emphasized in church. I remember in the history class, this picture of Jesus going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. At least that's how I remember it in my head. I think it was there. But it was talking about Jesus and the significance of Jesus for the last 2,000 years. Take a few years off that because this was, you know, back in the 60s, even the 70s. But it was part of what we learned in school. It was what helped us in our relationship with our Lord. But as that's fallen away, we see kids no longer knowing who God is, not knowing anything about Jesus, not even historically. I mean, they seldom know much about history, it seems, as we look out on the world. But we see the effects of that in the lives of the young people and even in adults as some adults have led many children away, claiming to be teaching them some new way and ignoring all of the past. We see the results when we see things happening like we have for months now, where people get in the streets and they riot and do hateful things, destroy property and kill people. We see it with what happened between two foster girls who apparently were foster sisters, I guess you would say, where one is trying to stab the other one. How do we get to that point? Other than God has been taken out of this. And these people aren't learning about Jesus and what he has done for us. They don't hear that word. They don't have any moorings. They don't have any anchor. They don't have a North Star. They don't have God. They don't have God. Not like you and I were brought up. Not how we were taught. We see it still in the lives of many because the world's not all darkness. There are many fine young people who have been brought up to know Christ, to know God, to know what it is to treat and behave around other people, to do that which John says that we are to do, which is keep the commandment of our Lord, which is to love God with all our heart and to love one another. That's the commandment. But we don't see a lot of that happening because news often focuses on the violent and sometimes not even focusing on the violent, so people aren't even aware of what's going on. We see this happening around us. We see truths being made out to be lies and lies being told as though it is truth. But here we are in another Easter season, and how we love to speak about Jesus and that he is risen from the dead. Because this is the story, and it's our story. It's God's story, but it's our story as well because it's God reaching down to us, coming to us in our troubled world. And he's always done this, and we see that when we read the stories in the Old Testament, the scriptures that have been laid out for us, men who were led by God to write down certain things that we would know about God and what God desires us to do. In every place in scripture, you'll find a common refrain. Do what is just. Take care of one another. Take care of the widow in your midst. Take care of the strangers sojourning in your area. In other words, love them as I have loved you. When people turned from God and went away and they wanted to know what it was they should do, and at one point the people said, should we sacrifice our firstborn? And the prophet said, no, that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to do what is right. Repent and turn back to your God. For they had the word, they had the covenant, they had those things that God had given them to share with one another, but also with the world, that others too in the world might know who God is and move away from their worship of false gods and idols. God laid it all out for them, and God was seen by Israel as their shepherd. In Ezekiel, that's how God is referenced. God refers to himself as Israel's shepherd. They are his people, and he will guide them and lead them. And then Jesus, when he is incarnate and becomes the good shepherd among us. What a beautiful thing to have this man who is also God, this God who is also man, be among us, lifting up those who are fallen down, pushed down by those who said they had no place in God's kingdom, pushed down by the law even, and extra laws that were
adding more burden on the shoulders of the people, too much to carry, too much to even hope on salvation. And Jesus comes along as a shepherd, and he calls to them, and they flock after him, they follow him, they hear his voice. He invites them, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, it is light." He wants our heavy burdens. He wants our troubles. He is the one who will carry us. And he does. And he does. He carries us today as well. As much as sometimes it looks like the world is just falling apart and going to, you know, where in a handbasket. It's no different than it has ever been in truth. We just didn't always see it. We didn't. And it's been happening around us all the time. Evil does seem to flourish. And let's call it what it is, because it is godless and it is evil what is happening in our day. Not just in America, but throughout the world, as other countries themselves find themselves having to deal with new ideas or a woke mentality, and lies are replaced as truth rather than looking to truth and standing firm on the truth. Now, Jesus had a conversation once with the governor of Jerusalem, Israel, Pilate, remember? Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Jesus directs him to himself. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said, when you know the truth, when you know him, not just truth as yes, this really happened this way, but when you know the truth, who is Christ Jesus himself, then you indeed are set free, because you have nothing to fear. Salvation belongs to you. That's what Jesus brings into the world. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and you hear the Good Shepherd verses being read today, and you hear Jesus even speaking about being the Good Shepherd and what that means. Because we get down to it, we got to remember, because after having all this nice celebration on Easter Sunday and then hearing more about Jesus appearing before the disciples and going on with more Easter hymns, we finally have to stop and say, well, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for the world? And Jesus answers that with what we hear him say. He is the Good Shepherd. This is what it's about. Jesus has come and he has met the wolf on the wolf's turf. The father of lies, the old serpent, Satan. And Jesus makes it clear that he is the one that is laying down his life and that no one takes it. It may appear to the world that evil has won. It may appear that Satan has won. And maybe even in Satan's mind, he thought he had won. But in truth, he did not, because Jesus said, "I lay it down and I take it up again." He is the one with authority. The leaders in Israel wanted to know by what authority his disciples were doing the things they were doing. What authority did they have to heal a crippled man? Where did this kind of authority come from? And they didn't flinch. It comes from, you know, Jesus Christ, the one whom you crucified. No worry for their welfare, no worry for what may come of them, because they are saying this to these leaders. No, they know this this gospel, what they are proclaiming to them, is the same thing that has changed 5,000 men the day before and can change these leaders too, if they would but open their ears and listen, because Jesus is talking to them. Jesus knows his sheep and his sheep know him. They hear his voice and they follow him. So there it is, the reason for dying and being raised to life. And that is salvation. That is the reason for it all. To defeat the old enemy. To defeat sin. To defeat death. And to bring new life to light. This is a message that our world needs to hear, desperately needs to hear. This is the message that our young people in this country and throughout the world need to hear, so they can stop being afraid of everything people are telling them they need to be afraid of, because they don't need to be, nor do we need to be afraid of anything, because Jesus lives and Jesus is leading us. And yes, we do at times tend to wander off just like sheep. But he is the good shepherd who has already laid down his life, and he will be there with us, bringing us back into the fold. He will not let us wander very far, though it may seem we have wandered so far off course there is no forgiveness at all. But in the heart of Jesus, he knows that isn't true. In the mind of God, we know it isn't true, because God is the one who has declared what Jesus has done as our justification. By his work, we have been made whole. We have been healed. And we have our Savior always with us, the Good Shepherd. He laid down his life. He took it up again. And that's what Easter is about. Jesus spoke these words before his crucifixion. So perhaps when John saw all the events that took place and saw his Lord and teacher alive again, these words that Jesus spoke came to mind. And so he shares that with us. And what does that mean for us? Well, it means our lives are different. It means we walk a different road than what the world does. We have a different law than the laws of men. We have the law of God. We have our Lord's commandment. Love God with all your heart. What does that mean? We worship him. We gather together to praise him and glorify his holy name. We come before him with open hands, wanting to be fed. And he does. He does that for us because we are his. What does that mean for us, this thing that Jesus has done? It means we are to love one another just as he has loved us. We turn away from sin whenever it comes our own way, or whenever we find ourselves caught up in sin and we say, "Whoa, stop." If we get caught up in the anger of the world, we need to say, "Whoa, stop." When we get caught up in hatred, we need to say, "Whoa, stop. That's not who God has made me to be. God has made me to love, not hate. God has made me to be a person of peace, not anger." And God gives us his Spirit so that we can carry this out. We cannot do it on our own, but his Spirit leads us. Listen to what John said. "And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." You see, you wouldn't say stop to sin. You wouldn't say stop to anger. You wouldn't say stop to hatred or revenge or retribution. You wouldn't do that at all. But the Spirit of God calls out to your heart, and reminds you what Jesus has done and how God, who is the only one who ever has a right to retribution, who only is the one who has a right to be angry, cast that aside because of His Son. Instead of wanting retribution on us, He forgives us. Instead of being angry with us, He loves us. All in Christ. It is His way, and it is our way. And let us carry that message into this world that needs to hear it, because there are many of those whom Jesus referenced in His words. There are other sheep not of this flock. Be His voice, be His hands, be His feet, and proclaim that Jesus is alive. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us with them into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, as you breathe new life into the world through the resurrection of your Son, so now, by your Holy Spirit, breathe new life into your church, that freed by His gospel, we may always confess the name of Jesus Christ, the only name given among men by which we must be saved. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love toward the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb, you have wrought peace between man and God. By your gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled conscience. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us. We lift up to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry and Carol Foltz, Jenny Turner, Jerry Schaffner, Annie May, Cornick, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe. Grant them aid in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by His word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit that even as this shepherd knows us and helps in every affliction, we also may know him and trust him, seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us join in praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Am I on? I know. I mean, it's like my wife, you know.
It is what it is.
Okay.
He's going to be here all week, folks.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to invite y'all all back after we dismiss here to the fellowship hall for refreshments. What do we have today? Cake.
And coffee.
And coffee. And juice.
Yes.
And that's also cool with.
You brought this. Oh, man. How could you turn that down? Then at 10:30, we'll have Sunday school. However, I asked the council meeting to meet at that time in one of the classrooms back there. And the other thing is oh, turns out on May the 9th is Mother's Day. So. Yeah, but it did get changed here. But we even talked about it.
You had it. Well, I know, but I don't know if I got it in time.
So you changed Mother's Day?
No, I said it turns out it's Mother's Day. So we're going to have our voters meeting next Sunday on the 2nd.
That's planned.
That's all right.
It's the 2nd.
Okay. We had no birthdays or anniversaries this week. And I asked if there would be any announcements from the congregation. Yes?
My brother got to go home after 3 months.
Oh, 3 months. Yeah.
He still has, problems. The nurses have to come still with him. Mm-hmm. He can walk. He's still having intestinal problems, but he wants to thank everybody for their prayers, and if a person didn't think they, the doctors didn't think he'd make it, he is now home, and mm-hmm. I think from what he said, he told every nurse about Jesus, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good experience.
So thanks for the prayers.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have 22 personal care kits so far.
Okay.
If anybody wants to contribute, have 22 at present.
Good deal. Anything else?
So what's the update on any Mom is doing better, but she has a hard time in the morning when she's getting up with the vertigo, and she had a hard night. She says she got up several times during the night, and she was just worn out. That's why she didn't come today. We were going to pick her up. But she sounds good during the day. It's just that early morning time, and if she gets up on a certain side, it's better, supposedly. But, her red blood count went up.
Good.
Even, she got the transfusion and the infusion of iron, and we got a report that it had been, after the transfusion, it was 8.8, and it went up to the mid-9. Now, so that's good. Now, her white blood count, or her platelet, anyway, they're a little bit high, so they put her back on the pill, that chemo pill, 3 times a week to get it down, but then she'll go back to 2 times. But she has a blood disorder that you don't see, but we're dealing with, and she's doing better. She does okay with the pill, and they give her nausea medicine and stuff. So, anyway, and the vertigo just kind of bowed her up more. But she's getting better. She misses everybody. She always wants to know what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the good report for Annie Mae.
Carol's having her gallbladder taken out on which day? Tuesday. So keep her in your prayers.
All right, if there's no other announcements, let's conclude with 7:40, please rise.